Welcome to Beach Grassroots, a monthly podcast highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can learn more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. We're talking with Awe Astoria, a group of educators on the North Oregon coast who offer rich, inspiring educational opportunities to kids. I'm Emily Hoard, the host of this show and the marketing director at Astoria Co-op. Hi, how about we start with introducing yourselves? Could you tell me your name and role and position?
Sure. I am Trisha Almasi. I am the secretary for Awe Astoria.
And my name is Renya Yitztifik, and I'm the president of Awe Astoria. That stands for Art, Wellness, Ecology.
Thank you. And could you please give me an overview about Astoria and what you do there?
Yeah, we'd love to. So we're a very small nonprofit, and we've been around for a couple of years.
There are four of us that make up the board, myself and Renya and Sarah Cobb and Mandy Flights.
And could you tell me about Astoria and how it got started and what you do?
Yeah, we'd love to. So I think this all started, most of us are teachers and worked with kids for a long, long time. And we've all been working with children locally for a number of years. And we noticed how much they lit up and were engaged and how happy and creative and just sparky they were when we would make sure that they were being connected with real things, real people, and really inspiring parts of our community. When they were able to connect with scientists or poets or artists and see the work that they were doing and be involved and connected to that work. And it was just a different kind of learning that was happening that was beyond the content. It was larger than that. It was about being in that place and being a part of it and being connected to the amazing people and places that we are surrounded by. And that felt so deeply meaningful. And the learning that we were seeing in all the, when I say learning, I mean that in the broadest possible sense as well, all the parts of learning that you hope to see in children and education, right? All of those developmental parts, that we really wanted to be able to connect more people to that, more children, more artists, more scientists, more of these incredible change makers in our community. And those parts of our community can sometimes be a little disconnected or siloed, and to be able to connect kiddos to those things and to honor those people who are doing these incredible things in our community felt not only meaningful, but also necessary.
Yeah, I think one thing, so many of us educators have been lucky to have people who will volunteer to come into the classroom and spend time with our students. But one thing behind Awe was us wanting to be able to financially compensate those artists for their time and to recognize the value of their time and not have it always be a volunteer basis. So that was one thing that then led to us making it a little bit more, leading to the nonprofit and grants and fundraising to then have that piece of it also.
Yeah, absolutely.
And could you highlight some stories of projects or moments that demonstrate Awe's mission in action?
Sure. So we have been having after-school clubs held here in Astoria. And last year we had one day a week an after-school art club, and another day we had a garden club, which was wonderful. The kids got so many experiences with different materials, different types of art. And when they were at garden club, actually going from the planning phase to the planting phase, to the maintenance phase, and then being able to see the benefits of all their labor in the spring as they were harvesting and things seeing things in bloom was really wonderful. This year, we're continuing the art club one day a week. And so that's been wonderful to get to connect kids every week with an artist and have them have those hands-on experiences. And then this summer, we also were a part of the regatta celebration here in Astoria. We held a family event on Saturday and had over 20 organizations from the area who came, and families got to spend the afternoon doing a large variety of activities and just connecting with all sorts of different organizations that now hopefully they're able to continue working with and know about.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's that networking piece and the connection piece that's really, you know, at the heart of what we're able to do, because mm-hmm. we wouldn't be able to do any of this. It was just four people who, you know, work with kids. but to be able to connect to all these amazing organizations and people mm-hmm. in our community is what makes it the thing it is, right? That's mm-hmm. what makes it amazing. And so seeing all of these incredible places working together and supporting kids is pretty wonderful. One of my favorite things is when you get to tie all the pieces together, so you have the art and the wellness and the ecology, and you see all these connections happening at once for the grown-ups and kiddos all at the same time. And one of the cool partnerships we have is with the Astoria Library. And so we've been able to work with them to do kind of little workshops, you know, usually on Saturday mornings. And now that the library is back up and running, we're so happy because it's just a wonderful place to meet and gather and have these sorts of things happen. And one of the ones that pops into my mind often when I think about how fun this is we did an awe workshop around the salmon life cycle in collaboration with Narayan Elasmar, who works at CREST, Columbia River Estuary Study Task Force. And he was able to come in and read a story about salmon life cycle in Spanish and interpret all the different phases of the salmon life cycle for kiddos. And then we had a hands-on interactive component to it where they were able to see all the different phases of the salmon life cycle and play with all these different parts. And it was super, super fun.
Oh, thanks. That's a great example. Could you tell me about your personal connection and what brought you to this and why you do what you do here?
Sure. So I've been working in education for what feels like a really long time now. Looking back, I grew up in the area, and actually I think I first got interested in education through my senior project at the high school. I volunteered with the Smart Reading Program at Astor, which was amazing. And now over 20 years later, the program is still going. So if anybody is interested and able, they should reach out to their local elementary school. I was able to then spend like 20, 30 minutes a week reading with a kiddo. And that's the first time that I saw the impact of my time and being able to really open those doors for them and to see a kiddo really start to become to see themselves as a reader and to really engage and be so excited about learning. And so that just led me to then become a teacher. And I've worked in a variety of education settings over the last lots of years. And now at the program I'm currently at, we were so lucky to have so many people from the community who came and helped us out choreographing dances for a play that the kiddos had dreamed up and helping make that a reality. Amazing people who helped make costumes, artists who volunteered and came and did lessons with us. And that really just had me thinking, what about all kids? How can we take this from this small group and expand these experiences so that every child in our community can have these. And that and conversations with Renya and Sarah and Mandy is kind of where All was born.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, and I think you're right with the experience of the kiddos themselves, you know, doing these incredible things and showing us what they're capable of and what they're mm-hmm. interested in and what fills their lives with wonder and awe, mm-hmm. you know. I also grew up in Astoria and have also been working with children for a very long time. My background is more in international education, and I've always been fascinated by, you know, way too many things. My mind is everywhere. But I think for me, growing up here as a child, I so often experienced that feeling of wonder and awe in the people who I was with and within the landscape that I was lucky enough to grow up in. And having, you know, having the ability to look back and see what made those amazing feelings of connection and awe and wonder possible, so much of it was grown-ups in my life who took time to understand children's worlds and to really make space for us in their worlds and in their work and in what they were curious and passionate about, and to show us those parts of the worlds through those lenses. And it made all the difference in the world. It made it so that I did feel connected to this place and these people and this land and this water, and not just like one little person, but like something, a part of it, you know? And I think coming back here and having my own children, being part of something, an essential part of that is creating that for the next kiddos, you know? Mm-hmm. being able to facilitate those connections to sources of wonder and awe and belonging.
Oh, that sounds really special. Thank you for sharing that. And can we go into support needs for Astoria and what the nonprofit needs financially or volunteer-wise?
Sure. So we are lucky to be a small organization in the sense that small donations do make a really big difference. And we're so grateful to the co-op for this opportunity to participate. And this has the potential to help fund dozens and dozens of community events that we'll be holding in the future. So we would love for people to join us at the end of February. We'll be having a community event based around poetry and fish as part of the Fisher Poets Weekend. That'll be Saturday, February 28th at 10 a.m. at the library. And we'll, now that the library remodel is complete, we'll be back there every month. Stay tuned to our website for those dates coming up. And if you're interested in volunteering or donating, you can reach out to us via our website and we'd love to connect with you.
And what is the website and other contact information?
Oh, of course. So our website is awe-astoria.org. That has all of our events that are coming up, ways to contact us. A great way to stay on top of what is coming up in the future. If you scroll all the way to the bottom, there is a sign up for a newsletter so you can join our email list and we'll let you know about all the things coming up. And we are also on Facebook and Instagram.
This is open to all children. The events held at the public library are open to whoever wants to come. And they're free.
You've tuned in to KMUN. This production is Beach Grassroots, a collaboration with Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. Today we're talking with Astoria. They connect kids with creative art, wellness, and ecology experts who live in our area. Let's get back to my conversation with Renya and Trisha from Astoria.
I'm just so grateful for this community. and for all the amazing people in it and how generous and fun people are. You know, how willing they are to do something they haven't done before. And for every single person who has worked with us, they've put so much thought and effort and care into how they prepare what they're going to share with children. And that makes all the difference in the world. It's inspiring. It's inspiring for us to get to see all of these amazing people in our community. And it's inspiring to see how inspired the kids are. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's the part that not everybody else gets to see after, is the after effects of like how seeing the world in a slightly different way, or gaining a new set of skills, or just a certain phrase that a scientist says or an artist says to these kids can transform the way they use materials or see the world, or it opens doors that they didn't even know existed. And that is incredible. And I'm so grateful for that. I also think a lot about how an organization like ours is able to do these sorts of fun, like, I don't know, they're fun and they're exciting and they open doors. But we're also able to do this work because of all of the other basic needs being taken care of by all these other incredible nonprofits and organizations in our community, where, you know, all of these basic needs that have to come first. And I think about that a lot in our work. You know, I'm grateful that we're able to do this, and I'm so grateful for the work that everybody else is doing in all these realms, because it's all connected.
Was there anything else that you wanted to cover that we didn't get to?
We were really honored to be invited to participate in CREST's 50th anniversary of being an organization, which felt like a big honor and a big responsibility. We were in charge of creating an interactive space for children to explore salmon life cycles and be able to get into that. And so this was building off of the one we did a few years ago at the library with Narayan. It's just such a fun project because the kids really get into it.
Yes,
and so sure. We start at the very beginning in terms of the interactive stations, and it's a mess. So we have this huge tote full of what looks like salmon eggs. They're water beads, the color of salmon eggs, but it's just like thousands and thousands of them that kids can put their hands into and feel. And I don't know if you've ever felt water beads, or if, I don't know if everybody is familiar with this concept. They're these little beads and you put them in water and then they expand and they get gelatinous and really cool. They're like, they're a little bouncy and translucent and they're beautiful. And you can just hold them and like roll them in your hands like bouncy little marbles. And it looks a lot like salmon eggs. And so you have kids just exploring all these eggs, and you're talking about, you know, cold water and clean water and like how the salmon lay these eggs up in the streams. And so they're playing with all these eggs, and then you move them down into another station with cold, cold water and stones. And we have all these little, you know, interactive little figures, manipulatives, of salmon hatching and, you know, with their little eggs still attached to their tummies. And we go into the specific details of the words with them. And then as they get bigger and bigger, and so then for the time when salmon have to transition from being freshwater fish to saltwater fish, we have a whole table full of watercolor little fish cutouts, and then we have watercolor paints available as an invitation for the children to paint these juvenile salmon. And then we have salt, which you can sprinkle on the wet watercolor to symbolize the transitioning from freshwater to saltwater. But watercolor with salt is also just really, really fun. And so you're playing with these different concepts and painting. And then they go out into the ocean, and we have this huge tapestry with reversible sequins so they can look at these big, big silver fish out in the ocean and play with that idea of like going out. And we talk about how they're out in the ocean and they're eating and they're getting bigger. And then eventually they come back to this very same little stream that they came from, this river, and this estuary, and they go up and up, and they find exactly where they came from, and they lay their own eggs, and how they go through this incredible transformation yet again to go up the river. And at that point, we have these huge fish, these, you know, big three-dimensional, basically stuffies, but filled with sand and wool. And again, with reversible sequins. So you have one side as red sequins and the other side as silver sequins. Mm-hmm. And so you can show them how they make this incredible transformation and change colors and change form and stop eating and have to fight all the way up the river to lay their eggs again. And the kids get to hold these big, heavy weighted fish and like see where the eggs come from and see this whole cycle complete. But they get so into it, and it's really, really fun to see that part of it come alive. And so we got to spend a whole afternoon with kids doing that at the Barbie Center, and it was a blast.
Yeah, and it was so fun to see the range from preschoolers up through upper elementary, even middle schoolers, who were so into each of the stations.
Totally.
And who were asking questions and who were really diving deep into all of this information.
Yeah, and like really asking good questions and really getting into it. And yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it's really fun to see the power of those types of activities, of how they can draw kids in.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're having these conversations that you would not have expected to have, and they're learning concepts that they were probably not very curious about 30 minutes ago, but now all of a sudden they want to know everything they can about salmon.
And then even within those, that reminds me too, with so many kids, I started having these really interesting conversations about their families, or like, oh, my grandpa used to fish on a boat out in the river and get salmon, and like that was his job, and then, you know, or my uncle does this, or my mom does this, or oh, I saw this, or this means this to me, and so you start having these social emotional tie-ins to places they live and cycles that they're part of, and it's really amazing.
Yeah.
That's a really creative way to teach them that.
It's especially good paired with having experts there who can really give them good, solid answers and based in their own experience. Because when you have somebody who loves doing that, talking to a kiddo about it, there's just this special like lighting up of faces that happens, you know.
And it's so like fun to see it's on both sides.
Totally.
To see that passion come out from the adult and igniting that in the child, which is so great to see. And that's what I think we've been so amazed with the people we've worked with, wide range of them and their ability to connect with children and to share their passion for what they do in a way that is so exciting and so inspiring, and that really just gets all of us invested and excited about what they're showing us.
Yeah, and kids talk about this for years. Kids will talk about things that excited them or opened a window, and it just becomes part of their world framework.
Yeah.
In a really transformative way.
It's really amazing. That's been one wonderful thing being a parent as well and having my kids growing up here. We had Cliff from the co-op who he came and shared some of his writing with us and did a poetry workshop with us at the library. And now my kids will demand to go through his line if he's working at the co-op, and they have a connection with him. And this reality of all of these amazing things that people in our community are capable of that we so often don't realize when we are just walking down the street and interacting. And so getting to open that window for kids, for them to learn more about the people they're surrounded by, is really, really awesome.
Yeah, 100%. My children will reference Cliff's poetry in menu planning now. When, like, what do we need to buy at the co-op? They're like, well, in Cliff's poems, he mentioned tiny cheeseburgers. And I think we need to have those again. So, yeah, it makes a difference.
It definitely does.
Oh, that's awesome to hear.
We've also held several story time yogas that have been wonderful. We had one at the library that Sarah Cobb presented. And while the library was being remodeled, Aubrey Cole House was able to do some yoga based on stories at the Arts and Movement Center, which is such a beautiful space as well. And it's so wonderful. Both Sarah and Aubrey are able to present yoga in a really kid family friendly way, to where it's just great for kids to be able to hear stories and experiment with moving their bodies in some different ways. And I think especially in a world that is so busy now, and where we are all so stimulated by so many things constantly, I think it's also such an amazing thing to provide kiddos the chance to experiment also with stillness and with relaxation and with quiet. And so they both have done a wonderful job of a blend of a lot of movement, a lot of fun, but then also taking those times to have kids experiment with what it feels like in their bodies to breathe in different ways and to really check in with themselves and take moments of rest and experience that. So those have been some really fun experiences that we're looking to continue.
Another wonderful branch of what we're able to do is music. Again, Aubrey has been able to lead a lot of wonderful music stuff for kiddos in our community. And watching them all work together and just have so much fun, like laugh and play and connect and like do something all together that they didn't think they were going to be able to do. It's such a great feeling.
I think one of my favorite things about our Saturday events is that they are family events, to where the parents are staying there with their children. And it's so fun to see parents participate in those, and caregivers and grandparents and neighbors, and watching them so often lose themselves in the moment and be able to really just try out some fun yoga poses and act like different animals or play music in a way that as adults we so often don't let ourselves, and to let them really connect with their kiddos and just act like kids as well.
To play. I love watching grown-ups tearing up paper and making collages and just being so in it that they forget about time for a second. And you can see their kids watching them forget about time and just being like, oh, this is good.
Yes, yes.
I think for me, I often experience awe in these moments, just watching what kids are capable of and what grown-ups will do with them, and how that collaboration is more than the sum of its parts.
Thanks for listening to Beach Grassroots, a monthly podcast highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. You can learn more about Astoria at awe-astoria.org. Beach Grassroots is produced at the studios of KMUN in Astoria, Oregon, by me, Emily Horde. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can find out more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. Beach Grassroots airs the second Thursday of every month on KMUN and can be found wherever you find podcasts.